Welcome to Mimesis, the podcast about all the twisted ways that art and life imitate each other. I'm Stacey Rourke.
And I'm Sandra Sheriff-Zacherly.
And we're your hosts on this today not so zany adventure.
Not so zany.
Yes. Today we are going to be talking about a very personal topic. We are going to be comparing this situation to TV and movies that we've seen. But for this one, I'm going to be handing the mic over to my co-host here because this is a very personal journey that you are on right now. So Sandra, tell us all about it.
Okay. So April 26th is a day that will be etched in my brain forever. Mm-hmm. My son, I took him to the hospital and he was admitted to the PICU. And we were told that he was in DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis. No idea that he had diabetes until that day.
You had thought that he had it for a while.
Yes. So 6 months ago, October, he was actually diagnosed with celiac disease. We've mentioned that a couple times on here.
Yeah.
It's been rough with that. When he had his scope done to find out if he had celiac disease, the test results came back and everything showed pretty much zero or a very low number, which means, yes, you have celiacs. It also, I asked the question because there's a number, like, I can't remember if it's glucose or like sugar. There was something that was more like related with your sugars and that number was zero. And I asked the doctor, does that mean that he has diabetes? And he's like, no, that just means that the sample, the tissue started dying before they were able to freeze it and test it. And I was like, okay, makes sense.
All right. Medical professional. He probably knows better than we do.
Exactly. Leading up to the 26th, 2 days before, he was at school. I work at a school. And he came up to me and he goes, Mom, I puked. I was like, oh, crap. There is a little flu bug going around. So I was like, okay, packed up everything, went home. Got home. He was instantly feeling better. I was like, I'm hungry. So then he ate breakfast. He ate lunch. He ate dinner. He went to bed. He was fine. But because he got sick at school, you know, you have to be 24 hours symptom free before you can return to school.
Right.
So Friday, he didn't go to school. I went to work. He stayed home with Scott. He ate breakfast, ate lunch, running around playing, was fine. We decided to go running around getting some shopping done, getting a few groceries, and we ended up going out to dinner to Texas Roadhouse. He was like, I'm not hungry. And I was like, that's weird. Are you really sick? Did we do too much? Like,
yeah.
Do you really have the stomach bug? And we just made it worse by running around and you got wore out.
Yeah.
And so he ate like one bite of applesauce, one bite of a steak. And was like, no, I'm done. So went home. It was about 8 o'clock at night. That's his bedtime. So he went to bed. We had a bowling tournament Saturday morning that we were going to. So when I went to go wake him up that morning, I looked at him and he looked so skeletal. His face was sunken in. His eyes were sunken in. You could count every single rib on his body.
And it wasn't like that the night before.
This wasn't even 12 hours later.
Oh my God. I had no idea that a body could do that quick.
I didn't know that either.
Wow.
It was so scary.
Yeah.
And he's small. He's small for his age.
And now we know why.
Now we know why. Between the celiacs and the diabetes. But I just knew in my gut that something was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, I don't mean to interrupt, but how was his behavior when you woke him up?
Actually, I didn't wake him up. He came and woke me up. And he said, Mom, I'm dizzy.
Oh.
And I was like, still kind of out of it. And I was like, what? And he's like, I'm dizzy and kind of shaky. He goes, I was trying to stand up and pee and I got dizzy. And I was like, okay, I'll be over in a second. Go lay down. So then I got up. That's when I went over to wake him up. And that's when I really looked at him. And I was like, oh, this is not right. He, 7 years old, he was about 45 pounds. I put him on the scale before we left and he weighed 35 pounds.
Holy shit.
Within the 2 days, he had lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
And only one day, or not even one day, one evening, he didn't eat.
Right.
Holy
And he was drinking water. He was drinking. So it did not click to me that he was dehydrated, like nothing. So I really thought it was something with the celiac.
Mm-hmm.
In my heart, I really thought that. I knew something was really wrong. So I was like, okay, we're going to the doctor.
I'm sorry. Did you go to the doctor or the emergency room?
The emergency room.
Okay. And for people that don't know what PICU is, that's the
pediatric ICU.
Right. Okay.
Monday. So this is Saturday. Monday, I was supposed to meet with a nutritionist about his celiac because April 7th, we went to see the celiac doctor and found out that his numbers were elevated. And we were trying to figure out where he got gluten at, because we have done the same thing for the last 3 months, because he goes for a 3-month check every 3 months to make sure he's getting all his nutrients anymore, making sure that he's okay.
Yeah.
And his numbers are elevated. So we were supposed to meet with a nutritionist. So I had, like, for the last week written down every single thing he ate, like to the T, like how many glasses of water, how many, if he had juice, like every single thing.
Nobody could say he wasn't eating because you had a documented file of this is what this child has ingested.
The whole way to the hospital, that's all I kept thinking was they are going to take me to jail because he is 7 years old. He is 35 pounds and he looks like skin and bones.
Oh.
That I'm not feeding him. And I'm like, I am. I'm doing everything.
Oh, like, my God. Everything. What had to be all of that going through your heart when you're like just trying to take care of your, oh my gosh, this is tragic. Okay, go on.
I sent Scott and Emma to the bowling tournament because I was like, if it's just a stomach bug, if he's dehydrated, if this, there's really nothing you guys can do.
No.
Just go ahead and go. So when we got in there, I went to the hospital that is affiliated with his celiac doctor, thinking again that it was celiac.
Yeah.
And we got in there. They like took us right back. There was like, no stop here. No waiting in the waiting room. Go.
Like they took one look at him and were like, he needs to get back.
Yeah. Yeah. So they took us back and we were in the first room for about, I want to say an hour. They came right in. They checked his blood pressure, checked everything. And then they're like, checked his sugar. And they're like, his sugar is at 600.
Holy shit.
And they go, however, our monitors stop at 600.
Oh my gosh.
And my heart sank.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's in DKA. And I was like, I don't understand what that is. They're like, he's in diabetic ketoacidosis. And I was like, how? They're like, does he have diabetes? And I was like, no. They're like, he does now.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. And so like just doctor after doctor, nurse after nurse.
What does that mean? I'm, again, sorry to interrupt, but what is diabetic
ketoacidosis? Your body makes ketones when it starts eating the muscle instead of using the sugar.
Oh, that's why he looked so drawn so quickly, was because yes. His body basically turned on itself.
It did.
Oh my gosh.
And he was producing a lot of ketones, which is something that we have to watch for the rest of his life now. Like they're just giving me these terms and saying things. And it's like, this is so overwhelming. And I'm like kind of regret not having Scott there.
Yeah.
Like, but I was like, no, it's okay. It's okay. Because just the amount of people in and out checking on him was overstimulating.
Yeah.
And just adding another person in that little room would have been too much for me.
Yeah.
And I think for him, because with me, I can keep it together if I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Not if I had somebody else.
If you have someone there that you can lean on too, you don't have to be 100% the strong one in that moment.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you needed to be strong. So
I did. And I wanted to keep him calm.
How was his behavior during this? How was he handling what was happening?
He was just so tired and so just lethargic. He just wanted to feel better.
Oh.
He was like, I just want to stop being dizzy. So they were like, we're going to move you into a bigger room in the emergency room. They had another emergency coming in. So they were trying to get him at least stable. But they needed, there was a bigger emergency that came in with a girl in an ambulance. Oh, so
okay,
they finally came back with the number. And he was at 752.
Oh, my gosh.
So he was very much on the verge of a coma.
At what level do you do they say you can slip?
It's just your body.
Okay.
Yeah. It's how long you've been in the diabetic ketoacidosis. It's really just dependent on your body.
Okay.
Probably a couple more hours and he probably would have been.
Oh my gosh. That's so scary.
Yeah. So they get us into the bigger room. The PICU doctor comes down and he's like, you're going to get admitted right to the PICU. We're going to start insulin drip and a couple other drips to get his insulin and electrolytes and everything balanced out. Because when they go into diabetic ketoacidosis, everything gets whacked.
Yeah.
And with insulin, your numbers go up and down. So they're like, he's got to be completely monitored. So at this point, they're picking his finger every hour on the hour.
Oh my gosh.
So he's just holding his finger out. He got used to it, but it's something you never want to see your child go through.
No.
They get the IV started once we get to the bigger room too. I'm like jumping ahead, but they start putting in one bag of fluid. They put in another bag of fluid and his little veins couldn't handle it. So they had to put in another IV because at this point he has four bags of medications going into a system. And like I said, the one arm, one vein was not handling it. They had to split it up.
Yeah. Well, his veins were probably constricted too from everything. Yeah. So
from being dehydrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by the time we did leave the emergency room and got up to the PICU, he started to look a little better.
Good. I know the pictures. I feel so bad when I interrupt, but I'm just trying to.
No. You
know,
yeah.
The pictures that you sent me, and I'm very sorry. I immediately got teary-eyed just talking about this, so I don't know how you're keeping such a brave face, but you sent me a picture of him the day of, and yeah. he looked rough. The poor little guy mm-hmm. just looked rough. And the
dark circles.
Yes.
Sunken in.
He did. And the miserable look on his face. You could just tell that everything hurt. The next day, and again, we're not going to jump ahead, but the difference 24 hours made. And yep. I know that had to be such a relief on your heart. I know you didn't sleep well that night at the night at the hospital at all. But
I did not.
In the morning, to see improvement had to be kind of a sigh of relief for you.
Well, once we got up to the PICU, his nurse up there, the nurse down there, down in the ER, she was fantastic. I believe her name was Amy, and she was amazing with him. It was adorable because he had both the IVs in both his arms. They gave him a stuffed bear that they put IVs in both arms.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And he loves that bear so much. I think when you're trauma like that and you get something, it becomes your instant, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, security blanket almost.
Yeah, that's your Maddie. Do you remember when she was two and she ended up in the emergency room because she was severely dehydrated? Mm-hmm. They gave her a bear and she still has it. And that bear, junior year of high school, her theater class had a thing about bring in something that has a story behind it that you can share with everybody. And she brought that bear. So that could be something that for Evan, he's going to hold on to that because that was, that signified that moment.
Yeah, it was a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
And life will never be the same from that moment on.
No.
So we get up to the PICU and that nurse too, she was amazing. We actually had her because we were in the PICU more than 24 hours, but not two nights.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. we ended up having her twice and she was just great.
So she worked different
shifts.
I wish I
remembered her name. Yeah. She was like almost on the tail end of her shift by the time we got up there. Then we had the day nurse and then she came in again in the evening.
Okay.
So that first night when they finally said he could eat because they finally got him a little bit, his sugars under control. It was still really high, but they were dropping. He wanted his steak from Texas Roadhouse. Oh. So Scott brought it up and he ate just steak. They said that he could eat whatever, that his sugars would go up, but they said he could eat, but he just wanted steak and his numbers actually dropped significantly because it was just straight protein.
Yeah.
But they, like, when we got to the PICU, at one point had eight different fluids going into his arms at once.
Gosh.
So there was like four when we went up, they added two more. And then in the middle of the night, because insulin does weird things, they had to add potassium and a different one on there. So there was eight total. And they're all beeping and checking him every single hour on the hour. So there was no sleep.
There's dozing at that point. That's all you can do.
It's like, okay, they're coming in again. He needs to go pee. They have to unhook him every time he needed to go pee. And he's peeing more because he's drinking water.
And those like IVs crazy. Are running into him. I've been in the hospital a million times dehydrated because of my stupid sensitive stomach. But when those fluids are pumping in you, you have to pee. And I know when... This is like way too much information, but when you get really dehydrated at first, it's not a thing. But once it is, now you have to get the IV tubes and, you know, you got to get everything unraveled and so that you can go. And it takes a while. It's a long ordeal.
Yeah. Finally, they were like, you don't have to go to the bathroom. You can just pee in the little thing. And he was like, okay. But then it was like, Mom, I got to pee. I'll get up. Mom, I got to pee. I'll get up. But because of the DKA, he also did a little bit of damage to his kidneys.
Oh, no.
So he was going more than normal because his kidneys, I don't remember exactly what they said, but there's like the tubes that go up into your kidneys. Those were a little like stretched out. They think it'll fix itself. But we have to have a follow-up appointment with a kidney specialist because it's almost like his bladder is not completely emptying.
Okay.
So they were like, every time he peed, they had to scan his bladder. So on top of the finger pokes, they're scanning his bladder every single time he pees. So it was like, I felt really bad.
Gosh, that is so much. That's just so much like hovering and poking and prodding.
Yeah. So he got no sleep. So once we got to the regular room.
By this point, had the dizziness faded?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The dizziness faded once they actually got his sugar coming down into like the 400s. Okay. Which is still scary to say that sugar is at 400 and he's acting a little bit normal. Yeah.
Was he incredibly tired during all of this? Or
Yes. He was a little funny when we were in the emergency room. He's like, there's a TV there. Can I watch TV? And the nurse is like, yes, you can, because you're going to be here for a while. So she's like flicking through the channels to get to like the cartoons. And she comes across Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, that's my boy.
And he's like, stop.
Aww.
So he watched from the ending of the first, and then we got up to the PICU, and he watched the second and the third. It was like a marathon.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I thought of you. I was like, that
was an Aunt Stacy hug that the universe gave you guys.
Yep.
I love that.
But that's where he was like, I just need my pirates.
Oh.
Just need my pirates. And so we were up there and the nurse is like, so we have a movie room so we can get you're not allowed to leave your room, but we can get any movies. Here's the list. Write the number down. We'll bring them to you. So he picked out a few and he picked out Pirates and Fast and the Furious. I was like, whatever.
Cars and Pirates. That's what we got going on here right now. I love it. Cars and Pirates. All I need is Cars and Pirates.
We found out we got moved to the other room. And it was either right before we got moved to the like the actual like pediatric floor. We weren't in the ICU anymore. He was doing better. It was either right then or right when we got to the other room. We found out that he had strep throat.
Oh my gosh.
So
when it rains, it pours.
Yeah. So they said when we were in the PICU, we found out he had rhinovirus.
What is that?
Like a respiratory virus.
Okay.
So we were like, okay. When we were going to the new room. They're like, because he has this, we want him up and walking, but he cannot be up and walking because other sick patients, we can't have this spread. And then she comes in and she's like, he tested positive for strep too. We're like, oh crap.
Could this be because his immune system was weakened from everything, or?
That's where Vase told us. It's more than likely that Thursday he got the rhinovirus and the strep throat. Because of those two viruses, his pancreas stopped working.
Oh, shit.
Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease.
Okay.
So it attacks your body. So with the viruses, the body attacked itself, completely made his pancreas stopped working. And that's where, if we go back to the very beginning of Evan being 2 years old, the amount of water that that kid drank.
An insane amount. And we said at that point, being that constantly thirsty is a sign of diabetes. You and I had conversations about it.
Yeah, I've had conversations with so many people. Mm-hmm. We tested him at 2 years old because of the amount of water that he drank. And the doctor said no. They did this pee test. Like, they put this thing in his diaper, collected pee. And he's like, oh, it just looks like water. Yeah, pee shouldn't necessarily look like water. You should have a little tinge to it. So he was like, no, there's no sugar in his pee. He is fine. 5 years old. This kid's still drinking water like crazy. They actually do a blood test and a finger test. And he was a little elevated, but he had just had a snack. So 110 after just having a snack is not bad.
Okay.
Because it was well within the 2 hours of eating. I think it was like a half an hour of eating. So your blood sugar does spike when you eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was like, oh, okay. Maybe he doesn't have this. And that's where he's like, he uses it as a security blanket. Okay.
But
so limit his water.
Explain to everybody, how much water was he drinking during the day? Because, you know, we know we're supposed to drink a lot of water, but he was drinking an insane amount.
I don't know an exact amount, but I would have to guess anywhere from 1 to 2 gallons a day as a 2 to 7 year old.
That's a lot.
Uh-huh. A lot of water. I tried from the time he was 5 to 7 to limit his water. Limit it to the point where he is throwing a fit, crying. Like, you saw it. Because he's just so thirsty and he cannot get his fill. Yeah. Move forward to the celiac diagnosis. Once we took him off the gluten, the water started to disappear.
Okay.
He was drinking less and less water. And then all of a sudden, it spiked up again. So if he didn't have diabetes, it could have been the celiac that caused him to want to drink a lot of water because of the malnutrition that was happening with the celiac.
Yeah.
The celiac doctor did say no, that water consumption is not a celiac symptom. Okay. But when he stopped drinking water, once we took away the gluten, it was like, are you sure?
Yeah.
But that could have been the case of his body was actually getting the nutrients, but he wasn't flushing out the sugar anymore.
Oh. So that's what was happening is he was flushing.
Just kept rising. I think that's exactly what it was. His body knew something was wrong. So it just wanted to flush the sugar out. That's why he was always thirsty. Yeah. Because the minute that, like, again, he stops drinking all that water, he starts drinking water again and having accidents way more frequently than he was. And it got really bad. Like, looking back the last week before he was diagnosed, the wedding himself was horrible.
From all the water he was drinking and yeah.
Yeah. And with diabetes, there is nerve issues with it too. And peeing yourself is one of the things.
Oh my gosh. So we think it was the water was keeping it at bay, and then he got those two viruses, and it basically was like a perfect storm of everything came together.
And that's what they said. That just killed his pancreas and made his sugar skyrocket and put him into DKA.
Wow.
And most children who are diagnosed are diagnosed because they go into DKA because you don't know.
Right. Oh my God. So no,
the few who are diagnosed without going into DKA typically have a family member who is diabetic and knows the signs.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Nobody in our family has diabetes. Mm-mm. Nobody has type 1.
That's so interesting.
So it's like, because they kept asking who in your family has it. And we're like, nobody. Like my grandpa had type 2, but that's not type 1. Right. It's two completely separate things.
I wonder about on your mom's side of the family.
The aunt that I was able to talk to says no. But with my mom being adopted and all of the family being adopted, there's only so much information there.
Right.
They know that Alice did not have it.
Okay.
But we don't know how far past that.
Right.
Nothing past Alice. Alice would be my grandmother.
Yeah, there's nobody there. And that's so confusing. Yeah. And it's...
And nothing on my dad's side at all.
You know, and I think about like how the media, movies, TV, all of that portrays diabetes. And I really think that it's a very prevalent issue that because so many people have it that we're just like, oh, well, they're diabetic. That's just something that, you know, lots of people have that. But you don't until you're in these moments and you see how scary they are and see just how, like, I think when I think about diabetes and the way it's shown in the movies, the scene that comes to mind instantly is from the movie Steel Magnolias, when Julia Roberts' character on her wedding day has, like, she goes into like a diabetic seizure and has that moment. So, and when I think about it, there's that moment that I saw in movies. And then there was a kid in elementary school that I went to school with and I was friends with him. And I remember him having obviously one of these type of moments at school where he, in the middle of class, stood up and tried to bolt towards the door because he knew something was happening. And I knew this kid well, but when he stood up and he moved, I remember, like you said, his eyes were sunken, his cheeks were sunken. He, like, the look in his eye, like he's looking in your direction, but he's not actually seeing you.
Yes.
Those are really the only moments I can think of this going down. And it's, you know, it wasn't just a quick moment for you. This was like days of watching this. And you don't even realize that, you know, this is, it's terrifying. These moments are absolutely terrifying.
They are. And the media portrays it more so about type 2 diabetes. They say type 1, but they're really referring to type 2. Type 2 is very much controlled because of diet. Type 1 is genetic.
Okay.
Type 1 is a mutation on one of the genes.
Okay.
And it's the same gene that is celiac. So but if you have type 1 diabetes, you are susceptible to being celiac as well. Or vice versa. You have celiac, you have type 1. Mostly the type 1 diagnosis comes first before the celiac.
Really? His just happened to go.
Ours was flip-flopped. Yes. And that does make it a lot harder too, because you have to carb count.
How does that work?
So carb counting is we count every single carbs the doctor gives us. For instance, right now, Evan, for one unit of insulin, it covers 50 grams of carbs.
Okay.
So we count how many carbs are in his lunch and then do a math equation to figure out how much units of insulin we give him.
See that? Things like that, that is the kind of math that we should be teaching people. Like things like that where it's like real life ways that you
I've
implement it.
I've never been good at decimals and I am so good at decimals now.
Because, well, we don't want to put that in the schools of like... Do this lesson like your child's life depends on it. We don't want to put that on the children. That is too much pressure. But that's basically what you're doing is like get better at decimals to save your child's life.
I am literally my child's pancreas.
That's a great and horrible way to look at it.
Yeah. While I was in the hospital, I needed an outlet.
Yeah.
I was texting you. I was texting Nicole, Scott. Like, I had you guys in a group. So I was just looking up funny diabetes quotes. And the one that just stuck with me was, it was a shirt that had a pancreas on it. And it said, "Dead Pancreas Society." And I was like, this is the humor I need him to take on with this.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot.
Yeah.
But like in the media, again, it's shown as like the type 2.
Yeah.
You can't eat that. No, he can eat whatever he wants. We just have to account for it with the carb counting. He's not limited to anything. We do have to take in consideration with celiac, it's a rice-based diet for the most part. Anything that is bread, cakes, cookies, it's all rice-based. Rice has a higher glycemic index, which does keep the blood sugar higher than wheat does. So we do have to play the game of balancing out what foods he has when.
Does he still have to stay away from gluten or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he will never have gluten.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I always mess this up. Wheat, rye, barley, malt affects the intestines.
So,
which can also affect other things in your body, like higher risk of kidney disease, higher risk of cardiovascular disease.
So he can never have beer.
Never.
So your husband, who is, oh.
Uh-huh. When Scott found out Evan had celiac, he broke down crying and said, "I can never have a beer with my son."
Oh, he's such a beer connoisseur that's like his thing. And to know that
he wanted to do that with his son. And I said, "They have gluten-free beers." He's like, "It's not the same." I was like, "I know it's not the same, but he will know no different."
Yeah. And you know what? Scott just needs to look at this as a challenge. He's got how many years until Evan's 21 to find the best gluten-free beers? Like, there you go. There's the new challenge.
Make your own.
Yeah, make your own gluten-free beer.
Make your own.
You've got time. Yep. You've got plenty of time. You can still share this with your son. And I think that's very symbolic to what you guys, challenges you have ahead of you as a family is, you guys aren't limited to what you can do. You're just going to have to find different ways to do it.
Alternatives, yeah. My experience with diabetes has been the type 2, where it's, you can't eat that. My grandma lost a leg kind of thing. The vision, the gangrene, losing toes, losing limbs, like that's type, because you're not taking control of your sugar. You're not following the doctor's orders. You're not exercising. You're not doing all of that. That's been my experience. Yeah. Like, my grandpa had type 2 and a brain tumor.
Oh my gosh.
And so he would forget to take care of himself because of the brain tumor. And that's how he inevitably died, was something diabetic related episode.
Yeah.
Because the tumor, but it wasn't really the tumor.
Yeah. So, and I'm sorry if this is like weird questions, but I genuinely do not know. So with type 1 versus type 2, like with what I've heard from people and, you know, people we've known, you get a wound on your foot, it won't necessarily heal. Is that something that can happen with type 1 as well? Or is that a type 2 trait?
I don't know for sure. Okay. Like, I think it is an autoimmune disease, so your body still has a harder time healing. But I don't think it's like the type 2 where I don't know that.
Well, you know what? Maybe let's send this out to our listeners. If you know if a wound on the foot reacts the same versus type 1 diabetes or type 2, please let us know. Because, I mean...
Like, I'm only a month into this diagnosis, and it's a learning every single day.
And I think we want our listeners to know that you're not coming on here as a diabetes expert. You're coming on here as a woman that has just launched into a new chapter with her family of life going forward from this point.
Right. somebody mentioned something not too long ago of like, well, if you ever need a sitter who knows type 1 diabetes, my daughter has type 1 diabetes and would be very – would love to be able to babysit for somebody else who has it. And I was just like, I didn't even think of being able to have a sitter.
Yeah, it's got to be somebody that knows – yeah. What I mean, I've babysat for your kids before, and now you would have to give me a complete tutorial because I know nothing.
Yeah. When we were in the hospital, they – pretty much right when we got up to the PICU, she's talking to me and she's like, so I have a little light reading for you to do. She hands me a binder.
Oh, God.
Here you go. And I was like, what? She's like, you need to read over this before you can go home. And I was like, okay. So like I opened the first page and I was like, well, that's not happening right at this very second, because I was so overwhelmed that I was just like, I can't comprehend.
What was it?
It's just everything you need to know.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't right now.
Yeah. I was like, you guys are telling me too many things for me to like read it right here, because this is when we're at home. I can't comprehend the home until I know like right now is
that
okay.
He's okay. That we will be going home.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Because I'm sure there was some moments in that seeing him drawn like that, you probably had moments where you let yourself think if for a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when they said pick you.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
Yeah. The ICU is terrifying. And then once it was the ICU to the regular room, I panicked a little bit because I was like, Where's the nurse? Well, why aren't they coming in? And then I had the biggest breakdown when we came home.
I remember.
I called you.
Because you were like, where are the nurses? What do I do?
What do I do? Yeah. What if I mess up?
Yeah.
What if I overdose him? What if I underdose him? What if we're right back in the hospital tomorrow?
I'm going to shout out to another member of the literary community, but I think you know her as well, Cameo Renee, who is an absolutely beautiful soul inside and out. And her husband has had so many issues. He's been in and out of the hospital for I don't even know how long now, but it's a very long journey. And watching those moments and realizing that, yeah, sometimes you can go home and you can end up back. And, you know, it's absolutely terrifying. But for them, to keep fighting with them and for them, you know, you do it. That's what you got to do. And I think in this, and this is my opinion, take it for what it's worth, but I think living each moment, just take it as it comes and don't stress yourself out over what if tonight his sugar bottoms out, I probably shouldn't sleep. Like, don't do that to yourself. In this moment, everything's okay. Everything's good.
Yep.
So allow yourself this moment and don't take on the future's problems before they get here.
Exactly. Like I needed that moment when I did come home because I was so strong at the hospital and I didn't want him to see me break, that when we got home, Scott had a handle on it. Emma was able to be here and see him and hang out because she couldn't come up. She was able to come to the hospital for like a few hours the one day when he was in the PICU. But once we got to the regular room, it was so tiny. There was just no room for anybody. Yeah. They had him. So I was able to finally feel the emotions from being admitted to being in the PICU to everything. And I needed it. We've had highs. We've had lows. We haven't had dangerous lows. We haven't had dangerous highs. We're getting in a routine of what we know works for his body. The other day he had field day. He just didn't get his shot for lunch. So he ran a little high, but because he moved his body so much, he was able to bring it down pretty quickly. Okay. And that was under doctor's recommendations. Like he had seen his endo that day. Like I do not suggest you doing anything without your endo.
What is the endo?
The endocrinologist. Okay. That's the diabetes doctor.
So they become your best friend. And now how do you get a hold of him like throughout the day if there's issues or?
So we can call the office Monday through Friday at a certain number if we have any questions. Right now, they have us sending his log weekly of what his sugars were, bedtime, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and after school, because they want to get his dosing right to keep him in range more often than having him high or low. So the numbers fluctuate almost weekly right now. It will level off more once he isn't growing. But I mean, that's going to be a while. He's only seven.
This is a long journey. It's a lifelong. It is a long journey. It's a lifelong. Wow. It is a lifelong journey.
It is. We finally have his Dexcom. We were able to get that one week.
And what is that for our listeners that don't know?
Dexcom is a continuous glucose monitor. So it's a CGM. It goes right in the back of his arm and it goes into the fluid in your arm. So it's not like picking your finger with the blood, but it's within like 20, I think it's 20% of the finger poke. So it's pretty spot on. Okay. So now that he has that, I have access to him 24/7 on my phone.
Do you have an app to see for his your numbers.
Son? I do. but that's what it is. He's not limited to anything.
Except gluten.
He can have a snack if he wants. Exactly. Except for gluten. I do steer him away from having a shot so close to bedtime, because I would rather him be a little high than low at bedtime. Why is that? I'm afraid to sleep through the alarms. I'm afraid he'll sleep through the alarms. He could sleep through the alarms because he is low. Okay. And you get like fatigued and there are so many different symptoms, dizzy, like everything with being low. So to be more on the higher side is better at nighttime.
To err on that side.
Yeah.
Yes. The low blood sugar I can speak on. I've had hypoglycemia my entire life. I can remember riding in the car with my mom when I was a teenager, and I was just telling her, I'm really, really sleepy. Like, I can't keep my head off the seat. I'm just exhausted.
Yeah.
And she looked at me, and she's an RN, so, you know, she's got the glucose tests and everything in her nursing bag. And she was like, we're going to do a little experiment because I just want to see. And she checked my blood sugar at that moment, and it was 16. My blood sugar was 16. And she was like, how are you conscious? And I was like, I'm just tired.
Right.
I just want to go to sleep. So, yeah, I can absolutely speak on the side of that.
Yeah. And that's where if you fall asleep, you might go into a coma. So to keep his sugar up is better.
We don't want to worry about that at nighttime. Yeah. That makes sense.
And that's why type 1 diabetes has a range of good sugar. Like, I think it's 89 to 179. That's your like normal range. Anything above that is considered high. Anything below that is considered low. But you only treat if you really have symptoms.
Because you don't know what a person's body can withstand.
Exactly.
Because like my blood, my body getting down to a 16, I was sleepy. And yes, there was cause for alarm there, but somebody else at a 16 could be in like a state of absolute trauma because it's one body to the other.
And that's where he gets down to about 80 and he says he feels shaky. So we give him the juice. Okay. So he knows that he starts getting shaky.
He's picking up on it.
Yes. And then he understands like, oh, I just want mom. Like, we went to school the other day and he was just so clingy and so emotional. And I kind of was like, dude, you were never like this. Just go play. And I walked away and then my phone beeps and it says he's like at 350. And I was like, oh, turn right back around. Let's go for a walk. You're a little high. That makes sense of why you were so clingy and not being yourself and you were emotional. Okay.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So it's very much a learning curve.
And you guys got a lot left to learn in this.
Yeah.
It's going to be...
The advancements, that's where I was trying to go with the Dexcom, the advancements that have come so far, he'll get a pump eventually. where he doesn't have to take the shots manually. It'll just automatically give him shots, which will be nice. Because then you just push a button or you use a phone. Like, the first insulin machine was this giant backpack, like, that people would walk around with so that they weren't, like, hooked up to anything. It was huge. Like, I'll have to post a picture of it, because it's seriously, like, this giant thing that had, like, tubes running. Now it's just, like, you can have a little tube or you can have the Omnipod. They have come so far. People can have full lives with type 1 diabetes. Good. And I think that scared me the most, of life is not the same as what I expected for him. And that's a scary thought to think. But knowing people can live full lives with this made all the difference.
And that, you know, that's, there's so many things in life that happen, and life isn't the way that we thought it was going to look. It's not the way we thought it was going to go. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means that something new has happened now. Yes, diabetes is a bad thing. It's something he's going to have to live with his entire life, but it doesn't mean his life is going to be a bad thing. He's still going to have a rich, full life of amazing experiences and amazing opportunities. This is just going to be something that he's going to have to work with as he goes along. He will.
It doesn't stop him from doing anything. Like she said, one of the doctors came in and she said, this does not stop him from having any career.
Good.
She said, the only thing that used to be is that when you were diabetic, you couldn't be a pilot, but they have changed the rules for that. Good. So pretty much he can do any chosen career.
I'm sure there's stipulations with being a pilot as far as like posting your sugar before a flight or something like that.
You just test every hour on the hour when you are on a flight.
Or if you have an app like that, they can monitor it.
Yeah. Yep.
Easy enough. Well, that's that. Yeah. And I hope that put your mind at ease a little bit, that he can still do whatever he wants with his life. And you know what? The care that you and your husband are showing to him to take care of yourself and watch yourself. And I think you and I have had this talk before, that as a parent, we become the voice in our child's head. The things that we say to them are the things that they're going to say to themselves going forward. And you're showing him, like, this is what you need to do. This is what's important. That's a lesson he's going to carry with him his whole life.
And honestly, it's helping the whole family. I've struggled with insulin resistance, and being more aware of everything is helping us counting carbs for everybody. And it's not like counting carbs, like we're cutting out carbs. It's not like that. It's, we're more aware of how many calories, carbs, portion sizes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, wow. What I thought was a portion size is actually a lot smaller. But it's like with other things, it's like, oh, wow. A portion size for that was giant. And it's just eye-opening. And like, wow, like we're all doing better. Like, we're all in this together. We're not doing this in spite of anybody. We're coming together and as a family, eating healthier, eating to live, not living to eat.
That's a very good way to look at it. And that doesn't mean we don't enjoy meals. You can still have the wonderful meals, but still, that's it's sustenance. And
we're giving our body nutrients that it needs, not to eating to live. I mean, living to eat. Like, we don't need the cupcake every day. Nope. Like, we were able to – it was my daughter's birthday a couple days ago. And we were able to all still partake and enjoy.
Yeah, because it's a birthday. And it's the difference between learning you don't have to do it every day and – basically giving it and allowing yourself that. Like, it's, and there's nothing wrong with allowing it on occasion. It's just, we all need to learn moderation. all of us.
Yes. Yes. So do you want to tell the people what we have a little planned?
I do. I'm so excited.
Because I can also say my next part about this if we say what we're doing.
We are going to New Orleans for a book event. And while we are there, we're going to go through and do like all the gothic New Orleans things that our dark little hearts long for. I'm so excited.
Because we are creating content.
Oh, that's the thing you wanted to tell people. No. Okay.
Keep going.
Yes, we are going to take the podcasts that we've been doing, the content that I've been creating on social media, the books, the funny little projects, the crafts, the education, the experiences. We're putting it all together and forming our own content channel called She Lives.
She lives.
And
it's like the She Lives dot dot dot.
Yes. We became the idea for She Lives as far as the name came from, well, we're just going to all this for a minute. It came from the Once Upon a book signing, Once Upon a podcast, yes. Once Upon a narration. Those are all things that I've developed under my brand, our brand. Yes. And
it's your brand.
And, you know, we're not at our, I'm not at my happily ever after yet. You're happy, but I don't think it's your ever after quite yet because there's a lot going on. So She Lives is the whole idea of the channel is between Once Upon a Time and Happily Ever After comes the amazing era where she lives. And it's what happens in between that time. And the idea for this came about, I was looking at the content that I've been creating and what I've been putting out. And I realized that I want my content to have purpose. I want to entertain, I want to educate, and I want to inspire. And that's when I approached you with it of let's create more content with these notions in mind, using our podcast, using my books, other books as well, using social media. Let's actually create content that matters. So that's what we're going to start doing going forward. We're going to be releasing the logos and everything for She Lives.
And in New Orleans, we get to make more content.
Yes, we are. So it's going to be amazing. We're going to go through the mausoleums. We're going to do the haunted tours. We're going to do some of the eating and drinking places where it's like gothic themed. And go enjoy.
I just saw a pirate coffee shop that we have to go to.
Yes, please. And I just want to enjoy the food and the atmosphere and the music. Oh, the music. Oh, so excited.
Yes. You've been to New Orleans before.
No, I have not.
Oh, you have not.
No, I have not. This is one of my bucket list
trips.
So
we were supposed to go 5 years ago. And COVID happened.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, I had my tickets?
Yep.
I had my tickets booked.
I remember. There were two events that we were supposed to go to that year. Mm-hmm. It was New Orleans and there was another one. And I can't remember what the other one was.
I can't remember what the other one
was. But that's when I was traveling for book events all the time.
Maybe it was a Polycon.
It might have been. You know what? I think it was because that's right around the time period that I was doing that annually.
Yes. But I haven't ran this by you. Oh, no, I think I have, but I would like to put like little updates about Evan and obviously She Lives because I'm living with this diagnosis with my son.
You're living as his pancreas.
Yes, I am living as his pancreas. So I would like to put that on She Lives network.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, if you are a diabetic, if you have a child or a close family member that is diabetic, we would love to hear your stories. Yes. You know, we've we've shared listener stories on here before, and we absolutely would do that. If you don't want your name mentioned on here, obviously mention that in there. But if you have stories with diabetes and maybe how you've seen it portrayed in film or TV and how it actually is for you, we would love to hear that from you guys.
Yes.
And if there's content in particular that you would like to see on She Lives, if there's, you know, any ideas that you have, we would love to hear them.
Or if you have any recommendations on true stories that you want us to tell that were portrayed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're doing that too.
Yeah, that is this podcast. And we will get back to scheduled events soon. Just life
keeps happening.
Just happened. And it's been a rough. It wasn't only just Evan getting sick. I got sick. My truck's in the shop. My dog got sick and passed away. It's just been a lot.
Your life is literally a country music song right now.
The truck, the dog, the kid. You're right. Oh, dear.
You're in your country music era.
I'm done. I want to be in a different era. Please. Oh,
baby, we have to laugh because if we don't laugh, we cry.
I know. I know. But we will get back to scheduled events soon.
You know what I think we should do? And I'm gonna call it out while we're recording right now. While you are down here, if one of my off days coincides with us like having time, I think we should have a day to record as many episodes as we can.
Okay.
I'm willing to commit to a few show ideas if you want to do. I have
my one ready to go, The Good Nurse. I've had it ready for a while. Just
shit.
It's been tough.
Okay, so you've got that one. I've got two more ideas. Okay. If you want to come up with one more, we can do four episodes in a day and then kind of have like
perfect
content for our lovely listeners.
Yeah. So one more thing about the diagnosis was that they had us waking up at 2 a.m. every night to check him until he got his CGM.
Oh, my gosh.
Which happened to be 3 weeks. 3 weeks straight waking up at 2 a.m. on top of like already not sleeping while I was at the hospital.
You had to be so exhausted.
I was exhausted. So I was crashing by 7, 8 p.m. every single night, waking up at 2. Because when you're waking up, it's not just a, oh, I woke up, rolled over, go back to bed. No, I had to get out of bed, go poke his finger, check his sugar, write it down, make sure he was okay. If he wasn't okay, give him a juice box, wait 15 minutes, make sure he went up, give him a snack, check it after 15 minutes to make sure he's level now and then can go to bed. So it was either a 10 to a 30 minute process.
That's insane.
And then if you get up and do the snack whole portion of it, it was, I can't fall back to sleep.
No,
now.
Because now you're up, your brain is firing. There was kind of an adrenaline rush. You can't go back to sleep now.
So then I'd finally fall back to sleep between 4 and 5. And then have to be up for work at 6.
Oh.
So it, like I said, life is getting back on track now that we have the CGM. It does give the alerts. So it's a lot easier to actually get sleep now. Yeah,
good.
So again, we'll get back to scheduled
recordings. It's not me this time.
It's not you.
Yay!
It was not you.
I've been the problem for a year and a half and it's not me. It's
not. And you have never been the problem.
No, my life was.
But your life isn't the problem either. It's just shit happens.
Yeah.
We're just trying our best.
We're just girls. My kids say that all the time. I'm just a girl.
Oh, I love that.
I'm just a girl. Okay. But I think, Sandra, if the people do want to get a hold of, have we podcast before? Jesus.
No. Sorry, this episode's very long. The nice people can reach us at themimesispodcast@gmail.com, or they can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
Yes. There's so many announcements to come that yes. I want you guys all watch my social media. That's where you're going to see a lot of it. You'll see links to our new podcast, to our episodes, everything. You're going to see Sandra's beautiful face on my social media more because she's going to be recording things for me as well. We have other people that are...
I'm officially stepping into my full-time role as Stacey's assistant.
Yay! but we have other people. Jen Payne, who I do Unpause Life, she's going to come on and do segments with us. Your bestie and dear friend of mine as well, Nicole, is going to come in here. My friend Melissa has not said yes yet, but I'm looking at the camera and I'm like trying to, Melissa, come on, do segments with us. And, you know, we're open to other people. If anyone wants to come on and do a collaboration of some kind with us, please reach out because we're going to do this.
And we will get all that information out.
Yes, it's all to come. All right.
That's your little teaser.
Yes. So much more to come. All right. Well, let's actually wrap this up because this is going to be so much for you to edit.
Yes, it is.
All right.
This is the longest podcast we've done in a while.
Yes, it is. We got chatty. All right.
We did.
Until next time. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Mimesis.
If you enjoy this podcast, by all means, tell your friends about it and give us a review on whatever platform you listen on.
We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks.